Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Let me just check this microphone here. Is it even up?
Check one, check two.
Check it.
It's a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah, we're live. Oh, great. Awesome.
There we go. It's 2 p.m., folks. Welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. Big guy over there. That's Brian.
I'm on the air despite everyone's best efforts.
Despite everyone's best efforts. Don't tell me there was another AR-15 shooting range from your undisclosed location yesterday.
That was awesome. That will be great. That's going to be a great time. Actually, I really enjoyed myself yesterday. Spent some time down in Richland Center.
Can we disclose that?
What's up?
We're disclosing that right now. Okay. I didn't know if we were disclosing the undisclosed location.
That's the area I was in. That's all I was saying. Sorry.
Brian's just like slowly retreating it back.
No, I'm not retreating it back. I'm not retreating anything.
Okay.
If anyone GPS me, that's where I was.
All of the phone companies knew. That's for sure.
For sure. If you were tracking me yesterday, boy, you have nothing better to do with your life. But two, that's where I was. Talking to some people, doing some things, pressing buttons.
There you go.
It was fun.
It was. Hopefully it was.
I was more just saying that it was a great time, and it wasn't the people that I was working with yesterday.
Nice.
It was the other people. that I work with every day.
There you go.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Point is, we're here. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? We're Dueling Tangents. We're live. 844-967-2789. I'm in Waukesha. That's WAUK, 540 AM, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. You're over in what they call Madison these days.
Yeah,
I may or may not have passed through there yesterday. I don't know. I'm keeping all my stuff secret now.
There you go.
Nobody noticed the giant person going all across Wisconsin.
I just picture you tiptoeing through the tulips.
Yeah, I do.
That's just what it is.
I learned how to play the ukulele once for a show.
There you go.
Yep.
Nice, man. And I'm in Madison, like you said. Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN, 1580 AM.
Those things are correct.
Yeah, and you can download the Devil Radio app. It's got all of Civic Media's stations on it, and you can choose which stream you want to listen to. The Shaw, Devil Radio. We've also got an excellent co-worker, Chad Holmes, doing the Chad Holmes show in Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids. So you can go check out Chad's show
as well.
But check out the podcast. Listen to us live. Check out the podcast, Chad's show later.
That sounds good.
There we go.
What I can tell you is that if you listen to the app on your phone in the car, depending on what kind of car you got, you can choose between stations and flip between them like it's just, you know, any other thing. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
We're doing some exciting things here at Civic Media. And
every day is just a little bit cooler.
Just a little bit cooler. Folks, welcome to Dueling Tangents. We have
a show. We actually have things to talk about.
We do. We have a jam-packed show, but if you want to share your tangent, share a story with us, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And Brian, some of the news that broke yesterday while I was on the air we've got an update on the governor's debates here in Wisconsin. I got to say Wisconsin because one of those candidates hails from a different state that has a primary election today.
Hey, it's cool.
He's not on that ballot. He's not on Connecticut's ballot. But Tim Michaels agreed to one debate with incumbent governor, Democratic governor, Tony Evers.
That's good. That showing how much he wants to get his message out there. You know, it's important to not face the public or any scrutiny whatsoever. It's really just let only ads speak for themselves, right?
Just pay no attention to what I actually say live and heated in the moment. But please just listen to the prepackaged, nice, sometimes not so cleanly shaven 30-second ad spots.
Even the last time the governor's race was happening, like everybody kind of knew who Tony Evers was. Like even if you never heard from him, you can go back and see his record. Oh, guy's an educator. Okay, an administrator educator. Okay, we can kind of get an idea of where his priorities are going to be the whole time.
And one of the interesting parts is this is going to be fewer debates than in years past, because in 2018, we had two debates between then-incumbent governor Scott Walker and challenger Tony Evers, who was the DPI secretary. He was the superintendent of public schools. And they had two debates. So a lot of people are like, oh, well, let's not quickly jump to conclusion of who chose to only have one debate. This is what the campaigns agreed to. But I think it's important to put out there as well that there were two debates in 2018. Scott Walker and Tony Evers did a standard debate style and then a more public forum style where they took questions from listeners in the audience.
And it was all a great time.
Boy, do I not miss that.
What?
And so it's interesting to note that in the past, the Evers campaign had agreed to two. And so some people are being like, well, how do we know that Tim Michaels only wants one? Well, Evers has done two before. So I'm sure Evers would be happy to debate more than once.
Honestly, if I were Evers, I would try and get Michaels live on stage as much as possible. Because, again, you don't know his track record. You know he lives in Connecticut. And you know that he ran before. And that's kind of about it. You know, he drives in cars. Sometimes he stops those cars and talks outside of the car. And sometimes he talks while he's driving in the car. Either way, there's a car involved and him talking about how radical and horrible Tony Evers is. None of which is him going, this is what I do. He just says, I'm going to bring back jobs. Well, we have the lowest unemployment rate possible. So that way to hit that on the head. But, you know,
way to really read the room.
Way to really see what's going on and really it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he knows.
He's a businessman, Brian. He knows how to solve problems.
Well, he knows that the people are going to vote for him are going to vote for him no matter what. He could be a lump with a red T-shirt on and an American flag and says, hey, lump, the Republican is running. And they'd be like, yay, not a Dem. That's it. There's been so many facts put out there as to why the statewide candidates aren't really that good for anybody, and people are like, yeah, the margins are close. How?
That's still the fascinating. Well, it comes down to individuals that aren't paying attention to the stories that still do go on a regular basis to a voting booth. They vote still, but they're not necessarily paying attention to everything that's said.
Would you?
Across. I don't know. It's fascinating to me, though, Brian, because there's an attempt by the Republicans and all the dark money special interests for conservative organizations that are trying to smear incumbent governor Tony Evers as a radical, as the lieutenant governor Mandela Barnes, who's running against
him, are his fault.
Yes. And it's the same approach that they attempt with Joe Biden, where he's like, oh, he's this sleepy Joe, but he's also everywhere and he's super powerful. And a lot of the premise of why the dark Brandon memes are so funny is because that, to a lot of conservatives, would be the picture that they would like to push is like, oh, he's this ultra socialist. He's going to steal your guns and he's personally responsible for rising gas prices and all of this ultra powerful.
And you can give them facts. We've actually given people facts directly to their faces on this air and they just go and change the subject.
Yeah. Like, didn't you know? Tony Evers was in Kenosha burning down the buildings himself. That's what Republicans are trying to say in these ads. They're going out there and saying he's a radical.
They're literally using the footage of the Waukesha parade tragedy to go and smear Tony Evers. They're using the footage of the freaking parade to go and push a political agenda.
Remember 2 days after that tragedy when both our senators, Senator Tammy Baldwin and Senator Ron Johnson, came together and said, let's not make this political. And then within like 72 hours, Senator Johnson did a complete about face and just went,
made it political,
super political with it. And it has been politicizing ever since. Because,
well, we'll get into Rojo's hypocrisy in just a little bit in the next couple of segments here. But wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is almost comical because Tony Evers is a former educator, former principal, public instructor, superintendent of public schools in Wisconsin. He shows you his bobblehead collection in the governor's mansion, talks about cheese and his high school sweetheart that he married, and he likes to play euchre and cribbage. He's as Wisconsin as it gets. And these dark money special interest organizations are trying to peg him as this radical because they stand for, they have no good ideas, Brian. That's what it all gets back down
to. They'd be running on him.
If they had him, they would.
If he had a record, he'd be running on it. That again, the one thing I've heard positive about Michaels is that that's a decent corporation to work for, and that's like second or third hand. But my point is, wouldn't you be running on that? Instead of getting like dudes who look like workers to go and say, yeah, Tony Evers doesn't know how to be a working guy. Day. Well, the guy who you're advocating for is a multi-billionaire who hasn't touched a freaking job site in his life.
Come on, Brian. He dug those ditches. He started as a ditch digger.
I'm sure I'm sure it was a meritocracy that brought him to the top of that chain.
It takes a really, really long time to dig a ditch with a silver spoon, Brian. Give the man some credit.
True. That's true. You know, he faced so much adversity, like having to try ever, never, maybe, probably once. I don't know. Either way, the point is that if you were such an amazing boss, wouldn't you try and figure out how to get maybe some of your own workers to go and advocate for you?
Wouldn't you want to get in front of Wisconsin voters as often as possible and on a one-on-one debate stage and have it out on the airwaves so that Wisconsin voters could choose?
Yeah.
Or do you prefer the fight being had among 30-second ads and commercial breaks?
Well, when that's all you got, you don't want to have – I mean, your weakness is being able to talk in public. When I keep bringing up that parade that I saw Tim and his Michaels in, but to be serious, though, he was still just rushing. He was shaking everybody's hand, and he was saying hello to everybody, but he never stopped to talk to anyone. Never, ever stopped. He was in that way, he was just as unapproachable as Style. At least Style just stood there in the middle of the pause of the parade and never talked to anyone.
Well, the programming didn't tell him how to interact at that point.
Oh, that's right.
He was on pause.
At least Becky Clayfish had conversation with people, and her people had to drag her along. Hey, come on, let's go. Because she was still talking to people, and she enjoyed talking to human beings, unlike Tim Michaels, who apparently just wants to avoid everybody or any sort of scrutiny into his own life. And if you ever look at him whatsoever or quote anything he said back to him or state any facts or things that he's done, you must be a horrible radical.
And he's going to call for pitchforks and torches against you. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got a number of other Wisconsin headlines we're going to dive into, as well as your calls, 844-967-2789. Bum 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 bum, I feel free. Bum 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 bum, I feel free. Bum bum bum. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. Brian's in Waukesha. I'm in Madison. And, you can give us a call. Join the conversation. 844-967-2789. I'm trying to work on the I Feel Free reference here.
We're going to talk about Scott Allen, who has a lot of feelings. And
does have a lot of feelings.
Yeah. And that way, you know, his feelings are wrong. But I also, sometimes you can feel free, even though not as free as you want to, you know, either way, I like
Fair
Cream.
Enough. Yeah, no, Cream's,
good. Yeah. You know, they're really a jazz band with a blues guitarist. But anyway, we can talk about Cream a lot. Anyway, get on top. Cream, you will cut. All right, so let's go Shaboogie Pop. I kind of edited. Hooray for Prince. All right, now I've totally
there
lost my train of thought.
Now we've completely lost it. We're talking about Scott Allen, state representative for the Waukesha area, and you're listening in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, as well as Madison, Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. But, Brian, tell us what the representative is putting out there into the world today.
Well, I just want to put out there that my 10-year-old daughter, you know, sometimes as you grow up, you have a lot of feelings. And sometimes you act out on them and you say things maybe you didn't really want to say or some things based on your feeling. And you get really mad and you yell at your dad and you make him feel sad. And what I'd like to tell her is that, you know, the feelings you have are not wrong. It's just how you act out on them that really we need to work on. Because I don't want to invalidate her feelings. The opposite is the case for Rep. Allen, who has feelings and they are wrong and he probably shouldn't have them. So... I want to read this stupid press release by Rep Allen. I can't believe I'm going to say these things out loud. Today, Governor Evers was in Waukesha promoting his Main Street Bounce Back Plan and announcing a community development investment grant for the Waukesha Civic Theater.
$250,000 for the Waukesha Civic Theater, by the way, folks.
Didn't mention that, but it's also something that helps the Waukesha Civic Theater and is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing about that.
Nothing about that.
Here's a quote from Rep. Allen. While grateful for the grant to this Waukesha organization, we need to pause and consider if Governor Evers has really helped businesses as much as he would like us to believe on the eve of an election, said Rep. Allen. I would like to point out that no matter how much Governor Evers has or has not helped any businesses whatsoever, I would say he doesn't matter. Facts being separately, Governor Evers has done more for businesses by doing literally anything for businesses than Rep. Allen ever has.
Well, more than the entire Republican-led legislature. If you want to put it out there, since the first week of March, they haven't done anything.
Hasn't even been in. And Governor Evers has asked them to come back several times, and they have, like a bunch of D-bags, just gaveled and gaveled out, maybe lasted 20 seconds or less each time. Let's continue with Rep. Allen's stupid press release. The vast majority of aid that Evers has given to businesses has simply been federal COVID relief funds, which he has used as an election slush fund instead of working with the legislature to invest strategically. Yes, because I use all my slush funds to go and help out small businesses and people that are struggling.
Yeah.
Again, he's railing against helping small businesses. This is what his problem is. Evers closed businesses for longer than needed during COVID, deeming many large chain stores as essential while keeping many small local businesses closed. Then instead of encouraging workers to get back to work to help these small businesses recover, Evers continued giving increased unemployment paychecks to able-bodied workers. By the way, all of that got recycled back into the economy. But anyway, when the legislature sought to address these two issues, Governor Evers vetoed both. Yeah, because you're going to force people back to work in an unsafe situation. And on top of that, you were doing it just to go and prove that you were setting... Anyway,
yeah, here's another stupid quote. They want to crack down on unemployment benefits for people that are still in need of the service that they've paid into. Unemployment insurance is something that you pay into, and they want to make it as restrictive as possible. And the fact that they made some forms of waivers during the pandemic for more people to be able to receive that aid and then wanted to pull those out from underneath people when they still needed it in a lot of cases is just disgusting.
By the way, Rep. Allen, where's all that help for that Tony asked for, you know, when he's trying to streamline the unemployment issue? Oh, how many times did Governor Walker get told that the unemployment situation is a little bit behind and maybe needs to be updated? How many times did you vote to go and help that out? No, never you did.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Here's a stupid quote from Rep. Allen. In a recent conversation with the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, I was informed that close to 30% of restaurants closed in the last 2 years, and another 30% are on the verge. This is the legacy of the Evers anti-business policies. Don't be fooled by his election season handouts. Evers has failed Wisconsin businesses. Let me see here. You talked to Sean Fedaplace. He does Main Street Alliance. Mm-hmm. He works directly with small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that the unemployment rate is, you know, ridiculously low. And Ron Johnson, the only idea I've had as far as getting people back in the workplace is going to kick old people, back into the workplace.
Yes.
That's really good. So maybe we shouldn't ask for ideas, should we? Or like, what is going on here? Why?
Well, you would assume then if he was talking about the fact that we have restaurants closing around the state because of the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, supply chain problems, you'd think that the state representative, Scott Allen, would be encouraging Congress to pass the Restaurant Revitalization Fund to re-up the money for restaurants that didn't receive it the first time because there wasn't enough to go around the first time. But he's not doing that either, because that would be a socialist handout apparently to him. But it didn't say anything about $300,000 in loans that were forgiven to Rep. Voss through PPP, because they like it when the government works for them, it's fine. When it works for anybody else, it's socialism.
Two things. Name any Republican bill that directly helped the American worker in the last 40 years. Anyone, national or state, Republican-led. And also, Scott Allen, what was your solution? What was your alternative to this? Did you offer anything different, or are you just complaining that Governor Evers was helping people?
Because
that's literally what you were doing. You whining sack of crap. You were just whining that people were getting taken care of. And you're saying, oh, it's just an election handout. Well, did people get helped? Yes. The Civic Theater just got $250,000. And you took that time not to say, hey, yay. You took that time to go and say, oh, Governor Evers is handing out things to people.
This is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself.
Ah, the Republicans theme song.
Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself.
It didn't used to be this way, but literally since Trump took over, it's been literally everything he's accused of anybody else of doing, he's done. Like, literally everything. And it's infectious because they started saying, oh, this is the Republicans in charge. Again, I'm not talking about the regular voter Republicans, the ones that go, it's red, I vote for it. They're not even considering what's going on. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to specify who I'm talking about here. The Republican leadership, Trump and friends and things like this, they like to accuse people of things that they themselves have done. Case in point, Ron Johnson likes to go after Hunter Biden about China.
A lot.
Turns out he made a bunch of money off of his business dealings in China.
Well, hang on. Not just his business dealings in China, his family business dealings in China.
Oh, wait.
Very important. I think that the senator has referred to the fact that it's, there was a vice president or the senator's son was doing these deals.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with Hunter Biden, apparently.
Now, yeah. I want to clarify. I don't care. You do business with China, don't do business with China. Is it legal business? Great. If it's not, don't do it. Like, that's it. I understand that, let's just say that there's a lot of politicians out there, not just Ron Johnson, who have, let's say, possible conflicting financial interests.
Yeah, I think it's disgusting that Nancy Pelosi's husband is able to trade stocks. I don't believe that you should be able to do that.
But when
you
are
married to
drawn?
The Speaker of the House, or if you're in representative government.
I find it horrible.
It's
find
disgusting.
It horrible in general.
We need a whole ethics overhaul, and that's both parties. But
yes.
One party, I believe, would be more likely to make that happen. Is it the top priority for Democrats in a lot of instances?
No, they'll say it.
Because I just told you, Nancy Pelosi's husband is very wealthy on the stock market.
Yes.
But that doesn't negate the fact that Republicans are way, way worse on this issue than Democrats. And in a lot of instances, Republicans, like U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, want to make it a huge deal that he wants Hunter Biden to be the topic. But then he completely omits the fact that he has made a pretty good living off of his family business ties in China. So let's get into this piece.
Yeah, let's get into this piece here. This is from The Guardian. Republicans' wealth boosted by stake in company whose growth linked to China.
Ooh, weird. Right. Republicans. They don't even name him over at The Guardian. That's mean. I think Senator Ron Johnson's name should be in that headline, Brian, but
me. You know, I'm going to skip through a couple things here. Financial disclosures show the senator's wealth has sharply increased during his years running for and serving in the Senate, thanks to his holding an Oshkosh-based Packer or Passeur.
Pecure, I believe. I think it's supposed to sound French.
It doesn't matter.
Like LeMay. Who? It's a Pecure.
No, LeMay, he goes by LeMahieu, which isn't even that's not even French pronunciation of that. It's not even a like mispronunciation. It's just like I'm just going to go LeMahieu. Shut up. A plastics maker where Johnson previously served as top executive. Congratulations for him. Skipping down. Close examination of Johnson's financial disclosures and other public filings to the SEC, legal filings and other public records reveal that Johnson's wealth was boosted by his company's ties to another company that was owned and managed by his family, which in turn grew its business in China, acquired businesses in China, and reported having a loan worth tens of millions of dollars from the Bank of
China.
In one case, the company run by Johnson's family sued the U.S. government to try and press for softer trade relations with Beijing, a position that Johnson himself adopted in a rare break with Trump administration policies. At least we know where his allegiance lies.
The family business. Duh.
Johnson sold his stake in 2020, although documents show that an LLC owned by Johnson and his wife, Jane, still receives up to $1 million annually through rent and royalties as owners of the building where Pesce operates. Because you know what? When you collect rent and other people pay your fees for you, that's hard work. And good for you for having that. Pesce was co-founded by Johnson and his brother-in-law in the 70s. It was in effect closely tied to a larger company called Bemis, which was founded by and run by Johnson's father-in-law, Howard Curler. SEC documents show that from about 1998 to 2010, Bemis paid tens of millions of dollars to Packer, which was a supplier to Bemis. Johnson also personally owned Bemis stock valued between $1 million and $5.2 million on financial disclosure terms. The stock was later gifted to the Senator's Family Foundation called the Grammy Jean Foundation.
You know, Brian, pull yourself up by those bootstraps that your in-laws help, you know, float all of those millions of dollars of business worth.
If everybody just did it like Ron Johnson, we'd all be just fine. You know, yeah. Just follow his example.
Yeah.
So Bemis Records Show had a steady and growing presence in China under the leadership of Jeffrey Curler, Howard Curler's son, and Ron Johnson's brother-in-law. The company has plants in China, and in 2013, Records Show appeared to have acquired tens of millions of dollars in Chinese debt in connection to a Chinese acquisition. SEC filings show that Bemis also disclosed in 2016 that it had a $50 million Bank of China loan.
Wow, that's a very large loan to have from the Bank of China.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess I don't care about the workings and the dealings in China. I mean, if you're doing it all above board and it's all, you know, reported the right way, I don't know enough about this stuff to go and say whether it's good or not. My point is, and this is my issue, Johnson has made speeches on the Senate that criticized financial transactions by the president's son, Hunter Biden, which he claimed were tied to communist China.
And that, I wonder, do you think when the family's doing business with the Bank of China that they just constantly point that part at communist China?
Yeah.
Do you think they...
Communist Bank of China? It meant that Joe Biden was probably compromised on China. The Biden family's, quote, vast web of foreign financial entanglements, Johnson alleged, had serious implications. And Johnson said he and fellow Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa will continue to investigate them. Our challenge in the deep state does not give up its secrets easily, Johnson said in a speech on the Senate floor in March. Well, the actual reality is that your family and your family business had dealings in China. Again, don't care about the dealings in China. What I care about is that you're saying Hunter Biden has all these dealings in China because Biden was a senator and vice president. He might... That might influence. You're a senator yourself, man.
Brian, I have
a
question.
Senator. You changed your policies. You differed from Trump on these policies that directly benefited you, and you're telling me that Hunter Biden is swaying Joe Biden, even though he wasn't in office at the time that any of the dealings happened?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. So my question would be, Brian.
Anyway, gas prices.
How long do you have to stare into the deep state before this deep state starts staring back into you?
I don't know. Watch the movie The Abyss. Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio has a really good, and Ed Harris is fantastic in that. So
that's what I'm saying. This man is he accuses everyone of what he's done.
Yeah,
the deep state. He has vast family business entanglements in China. That's what Ron Johnson has. So, folks, you were listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the show, share your tangent with us, 844-967-2789. Let's head over to the phone lines, hear from our callers. We've got Bob and Waukesha calling in. What's on your mind this afternoon, Bob?
Guys, I don't know if you're familiar with the Teamster retirees.
I've met several of them, yeah.
Yeah. We formed a committee to protect Southeast Committee to protect pensions.
Yeah.
It started in a church in Elm Grove, and it's grown. It's all over the country.
Yeah, our buddy Bob Amsden. Is this Bob Amsden?
No, I'm a good friend of his.
Different Bob. Okay, different just Bob. Want to clarify.
And what I don't understand, Mandela Barnes should be running commercials about what Johnson did to us. When we started out, Johnson came to our meetings, and he was running for re-election. That's why he came. And he was going to help us. After he got elected, he literally turned his back on us. He didn't help us. He told us we needed to take a haircut, that our pensions were too high. And you're talking men that are 65, 70, 75, 80 years old.
And when we're talking pensions, this is money. This is money you have already paid. This is your money. This isn't anybody else's money. Right. This is your money that you have paid into this, and they're telling you to take less.
Right. Well, there's a lot that goes with that. The ball started rolling, first of all, when the government took over the Teamsters pension and formed what they call Central States Pension Fund. This was run by the government. Then when Carter deregulated the trucking industry, that's when everything started to go to hell. Union companies were going out of business, and the way our pensions were paid, in our contract, we would bargain for our wages plus money to go every month into our pension fund. Well, as companies went out of business, union companies, the contributions quit rolling into the pension fund, and eventually it got to the point where more money was going out than was coming in. But that was the government that did that. They took our pension, and they passed deregulation. They were told by the trucking industry, the owners, not to do it. They went ahead and did it anyways, because Teddy Kennedy didn't like the Teamsters. He figured the Teamsters offed his brother, which is untrue.
Well,
we suffered for it because the money wasn't coming into our fund. But that wasn't our fault. That was the fault of the government. And the Democrats realized it, and Tammy Baldwin, they did everything they could to help us. But the Republicans and Ron Johnson did everything they could to thwart us.
Yeah.
But eventually,
Eventually, I got to tell you, man, you guys have been used as a political football for way too long, back and forth. And again,
but here's the deal: why doesn't Mandela Barnes use that in a commercial against Johnson? There are so many things Johnson can be attacked for. Like, who's going to use ivermectin, a horse dewormer, instead of the vaccine? Who spread the lie about Trump? Johnson. I don't hear any of that in commercials. And I know for a fact Bob Amsden talked to somebody in Mandela Barnes' campaign and wanted to do a commercial for the way he screwed us.
Yeah. I don't know what I can tell you, man. Bob, I
appreciate the call, and I appreciate all of that backstory, Bob, because that's information that's new to me.
That's a whole show's that's a series of shows worth of information we're trying to get through there.
It's important to point out we are not the political campaigns. This is two guys talking on the radio about the way that we are seeing the news and interacting about it.
And trust me, we've been telling the campaigns when they listen to us, this is the you should probably do this. And all on the same lines, man.
I mean, yeah. And so I think the political, Brian and I want to get into it a little bit, and maybe we're not going to be able to get into it today because there's still some other things we want to get to. But the nonstop back and forth of the negative ads, that's all that we're seeing. I would love to see more what I'm for ads, but that sounds like a really good negative ad too, Bob. So I appreciate your call, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my father-in-law, he was a union guy, and then he got his pension messed with, and he turned against unions and blamed the Democrats at the time, so then he became Republican from then on out. It's been a political football and been used to go and divide people for a really long time, and the unions have been pretty much in the middle of a lot of things. At the end of the day, though, you got a whole bunch of really good things because of unions, and in general, they've done way more good for us than pretty much any politician has in the last 40 years.
Yeah, and we're seeing a large resurgence of unions, thankfully, because unions are viewed, I believe Pew Research did it, where they're the highest public opinion right now on unions in nearly 40 or 50 years. And you're seeing it at John Deere, in the nurses union, in Minnesota, across the country, Starbucks's.
But it's hard. People have to participate.
You got to organize.
And care.
You got to talk.
And they don't just wave a wand and make things happen for you.
No. But folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And this is a place where you can talk. Give us a call. 844-967-2789. One more segment left in the day.
Thanks, Bob.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Folks, if you're not watching on the live stream, what are you doing? Over at Devil Radio 92.7 on Facebook, you're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM in Madison, on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha. And if you want to learn about more of the locations, you'll be able to hear our lovely voices on the broadcast. Go check out civicmedia.us. You can sign up for updates to learn more about what our network is doing and how we're growing.
And if you haven't noticed, if you have the Devil Radio app, it's now the Civic Media app. Get yourself a Civic Media app.
Did it just change?
It changed. No, it changed over a couple days ago.
What?
I just wasn't on the air to tell you. Yeah. If you open up
I haven't updated my apps then.
Oh, you must update your apps.
I'm the worst about that. I'm by far the worst.
Well, you have an iPhone. It's probably not going to do it automatically like mine does. So anyway, you're 3 or 4 years technology.
No, it's fine. I had the Civic Media page there, but I'm waiting for the skin of the app, for the Devil Radio app to become the Civic Media app. Stop it.
Mine's fine. Anyway. Apparently, this guy has a long nickname. Lindsay, I never met a blackmailer I wouldn't please, but can you really blackmail the willing Graham? introduce a national abortion ban.
Yeah. So the
great stuff.
The GOP, the Republican Party, at the national level, said that when Dobbs was decided, the U.S. Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, 50 years of legal precedent guaranteeing a constitutional right to an abortion, when that was overturned, everybody in the GOP was trying to silently pop their bottles of champagne to celebrate. And their talking point was, well, this isn't really that big of a deal. It's not a big of a deal.
We're just leaving it up to the states.
It's for the states to decide. That's democracy in action. Leave it up to the states. That's what Republicans wanted you to believe.
And that's
when Dobbs came down.
That's a core Republican belief, actually.
Yeah.
So, decentralized government. So,
right. Let the state of Ohio worry about the burning Cuyahoga River. The environmental problems don't cross state lines, right?
Wasn't it a Republican that Environmental Protection Agency?
Richard Nixon.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Just want to stroke.
The only reason he did that, though, is he didn't want Gaylord Nelson to run against him in the primary. So it was more of an inner political.
I'm trying to help out the.
I get what you're saying. But so they wanted to send it back to the states.
Supposed to be coming from.
If they actually stood by what they say, we wouldn't have U.S. Senator Ron Johnson saying, "Hey, I just tell the press whatever I need to tell them to get them off my back," and then
pretending I'm on the phone doesn't work anymore.
Immediately the next week, the press is just parroting the senator's response to this story. Senator Lindsey Graham putting out there that he wants to ban abortion federally at 15 weeks, incorrectly labeling it as a late term abortion. Brian, I don't know if you know, but 15 weeks is not late in the pregnancy.
All I know is that literally every person who is screaming or crying about late term abortions is 100% factually wrong on late term abortions, because once they have the conversation with me about what they are, they go, "I don't really know about what I'm talking about," and stop talking.
The logical ones do. Some just continue to yell into the void.
No, they walk away because they can't talk to me anymore, because after that, I've shut them down.
There you go.
That's not my point. I want to actually have regular conversations, but if you come at me like, late-term abortions, and I'm like, but that's not how it works. Yeah. Do you even know what you're talking about? No?
No? Okay. So that is what the senator from South Carolina is proposing. And Ron Johnson said, well, I don't support that. I want to leave it up to the states. But weird, Brian, when you look at the last three legislative sessions, when this same bill was proposed by Senator Graham from South Carolina, Ron Johnson voted for it all three times. The last three times it was proposed.
Huh.
So that he wants to leave it up to the states, but his voting record says otherwise. But still, we have a piece over at the Wisconsin State Journal right now, headlined, Ron Johnson says states should decide abortion laws after GOP member introduces 15-week federal abortion ban. What the heck are we doing, Wisconsin Press? What the heck are we doing? Because literally last week, the senator said he will say whatever he needs to say to a reporter to get them off his back.
Yeah, and it's the reporter's fault.
You are putting it in the headlines now rather than actually looking at his voting history from the last three times this piece of legislation was proposed.
Mm-hmm. Well, since stare decisis is out the window anyway, who cares? Everything is out on the table now, including Joe from Madison. How you doing, Joe? What's going on?
I want to thank Bob, who called in the last segment, and it's really worth people getting a listen to this. He gave a very interesting background on the dire situation that the Teamsters are in after having contributed to their pension for decades, supporting the union, and that then through a series of mishaps, they're now in a situation where the pensions are in dire shape. And Baldwin has been in support, but guess what? Good old Ron Johnson said to them, hey, I'm on your side. And then as soon as he got in, it was, in the language that Bob used, you guys need to take a haircut and your pensions are too high. I find this very rich, coming from a senator who complained that during his time in office, public service, his fortune only doubled from 20-plus million to 40-plus million. Poor guy, it only doubled.
He
was expecting more.
Joe, and thank you for your call. To be fair, they don't really have many unions in China where a lot of his business was being handled. So he's not really used to dealing with unions. He just assumed that they would cower in fear like they do in China. Or wait, they don't have unions in China. That's right. They just kind of cower in fear. That's kind of how the difference is between the two. Either way, I'm interested here. Let's see what CJ's got a problem with today. Is it that, CJ, is it that Tim Michaels is a coward that doesn't want to debate? Is it that, you know, Ron Johnson's flip-flopping, or that Ron Johnson's a hypocrite on the Hunter Biden China problem? Which one are you mad about today?
Well, the mere fact that you guys avoid what really matters to people. Have you seen this brilliant leader we have? He's out.
That sounds good, CJ. Anyway. Yeah.
We're not talking about anything that people care about. You're right, CJ. Yeah. We're talking about Hunter Biden's laptop.
We keep changing the goalposts on that because people care about gas prices, so gas prices go down. I'm not talking about gas prices anymore because people really care about whatever I care about. CJ, I think the game is like, you just say what people care about, but you think it's what you care about, and that's what matters.
Whoa. I think we just solved the CJ puzzle.
Yeah. It really wasn't much of a puzzle. It's just, you guys are Democrats, and I hate everything.
Oh. Well, yeah, then I already knew that one. We didn't solve it. Never mind.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I could tell him facts left and right. He could. He was the one calling every week, every day about Hunter Biden, and then, hey, Ron Johnson made more money in China than Hunter Biden did, and it was actually kind of more compromising because he was actually a senator at the time. CJ goes, yeah, you got a great leader out there. You're talking about Biden instead. Doesn't even faze him. Not even because he calls, like Sandy Williams said the other day, he calls to win the conversation, not to actually have one. So you're a tool, CJ.
I don't think he wins very often either, though. Folks, you can always be winners by listening to Dueling Tangents. If you miss any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, all the different podcast places. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you then.